Pray.
Amen. Amen. All right. The title of the sermon this morning is Halloween is a Wicked Holiday. Halloween is a wicked holiday. Well, you had to have known that this was coming because we're in Halloween week. And I thought, well, you know, we're going to actually be here on Halloween. But the thing is that it'll be too late by then. Maybe there's some people that are, you know, flip-flopping in their hearts and they just want to take their kids trick-or-treating or something. I thought, well, I better just prepare them right now. You know, and also the pressure comes to celebrate Halloween from family members.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's a real pressure. It's just something that you have to prepare your heart for. Maybe getting a good dose of God's word in your heart tonight or this morning will help you to be able to face down those family members. I know Ron is just real big on Halloween and he's going to pressure his... I'm just kidding. Just trying to wake you up, brother. I'm just kidding. No, he's not part of Halloween as far as I know. But anyway... You know, hey, look, there's people get wrapped up, back up into it once they've already, you know, forsaken it. And, you know, they start thinking, well, it's not really that big of a deal. But I'll tell you what, you know, just reading through Deuteronomy chapter 18, if you were following along this morning, do you think God thinks that Halloween's okay? Because a lot of the things that he's talking about in this chapter are things that are promoted during the time of Halloween.
Yep.
And that's what it's all about, is, you know, basically the devil's day to... just, you know, subvert Christianity.
Amen.
And to make people worship him. That's like his Christmas, basically. That's like the devil's Christmas. And you know what he really loves to do? He loves Christians to come and bow down before him.
Yep.
And so that he can go and accuse them before God. And I'll tell you what, if he can accuse you before God over this holiday, you're going to be in trouble. Because, you know, sometimes God has to deal with his people. You know, the Bible says judgment begins in the house of the Lord. And so if we get wrapped up into this or anything to do with this wicked holiday, then God's judgment might be coming forth upon you. And you're like, oh, Pastor Thompson, it's just the time for us and our kids to get candy. And we don't really worship the devil and this and this and that. Well, hey, look, just at the end of the sermon, why don't you tell me that that's what it is? It's just an innocent little time for your kids to get candy. And look, even if it is, even if that's what it is for you, I'll tell you what, you're still walking with and partaking in something that is wicked.
Amen.
All right? And you can say, you can paint it with any kind of brush that you want.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, you know, God does take it seriously. These things are not something to be joked around about. And God actually pronounces the death penalty. Look at verse number 22. It says, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing fall not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. And look at verse 20. It says, but the prophet that shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Okay, so God finds it a very serious subject. This is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible, I think. And it just flat out tells you, don't be involved in any form of Satanism, period. And he makes this great list in here of things that we should avoid, things that we shouldn't do, things that we shouldn't partake in, and people that we shouldn't hang around. And so look, if you're celebrating Halloween, you are hanging around people. And look, most of those people probably aren't going home and drawing pentagrams on the ground and calling unto Satan and all this other stuff. But I'll tell you what, there are people that are.
Yeah, that's right.
And their desire is to pervert the ways of God and make it seem like it's okay to just worship the devil. It's okay to just go and dress up like demons. It's okay to be Frankenstein and all these other things. And it's celebrating the dead. It's celebrating demons. They say it's a day where the spirits are out, the biggest day where spirits are out. I'd say that probably is true because they're channeling a lot of that energy off the people that are going and partaking in this wicked holiday. And it is a holiday. It's become a major holiday because I'll tell you what, all the stuff has been out for over a month before it even happened. It's been out for like 2 months on the shelves. And so every year they try to, you know, put it a little, so you got, what, 2 months to shop for your Halloween stuff now? And every place you go, the places are filled with all kinds of monsters and spiders and just all these, you know, wicked things. Images of wicked witches and skeletons and ghosts and all this other garbage that's not actually true. You know, there are devils, but who knows what they look like. They probably can look like whatever they want, but we can't see them unless God allows us to see them. But it's still promoted. And, you know, I'll just tell you a story real quickly. About a month ago, we were soul winning. And this person had made it, these apartments we were soul winning at, had made this big, huge production of all this haunted house stuff and all this Halloween stuff. And I talked to those people were zero interest in the gospel. Zero interest. And then I went over and I started giving the gospel to this lady, and she ended up getting saved. But during the course of that, one of some of the other people in our soul winning group came up, and one of her little boys came up and saw that, and the guy came running out and scared him really badly, and he started crying. And this is the kind of things that Halloween promote. Do you think it's normal for someone to want to scare a little child like that? Do you think that's normal? That's not normal. You know, and the last thing you want to do is have your children scared. But you know what? You can't even walk down the street during this time of year without having your kids have to ask you questions about it. And, you know, people think it's just fun and games. No, it's not fun and games. Yeah. That kid was scared. He was screaming. He was crying. Do you think it probably gave him nightmares? Do you think that's okay? No. It's not okay. And they were laughing about it. They were laughing until they saw how bad they scared him. And then you know, they realized, they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then the lady I got saved was like, oh, he always gets people like that. You know, and look, I'm excusing her because she didn't know any better, all right? But that guy had no interest in the gospel. You know what his interest is? Ghouls and goblins and scary things. And, you know, he had long hair. They're listening to, you know, heavy metal music when we first walked up. I mean, look, they're just, you know, looking the part of everything that is satanic. And look, they may, you know, maybe he's not having, you know, child sacrifices in his house or something like that. But you know what? He has zero interest in the gospel. He has zero interest in the things of God. As a matter of fact, he sees an innocent little child and he runs up and tries to scare him. That's ridiculous. That's wicked. Yeah. And people go, oh, he's just having some fun. Really? You think that kid was having some fun? He wasn't. He was scared out of his mind. And I've just grown to hate the Halloween holiday. Yeah. I liked it when I was a kid, but you know what? Moses probably liked living in Egypt, but you know, at some point he said, you know what? I'm going to forsake Egypt. Amen. And I'm going to suffer with the people of God. Amen. You know, we got to learn that we just, you know, just because it's fun, just because our kids like it and all this other stuff, it doesn't mean that it's right to do.
Yep. That's right.
Sometimes you got to hold your kids back from things that are dangerous to them. Amen. You're like, well, it's not dangerous. They're just getting candy. But it is dangerous. What are you teaching them? That it's okay to just mingle with the world and to do the things that the heathen do and to do the things that God commanded you not to do? Because it's very clearly laid out in Deuteronomy chapter 18. So Halloween is a wicked holiday. It's straight out of hell. It promotes things that God hates, things God calls abomination. And this morning I'm going to show you how, according to God's word, that everything to do with the Halloween holiday is wicked. All right, so let's start off with Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse number 9. It says, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. So what's everything that he's going to list from here on out are abominations in the sight of God. And we're not supposed to do or learn to do the things that these heathen do. All right? He's talking about the heathen nations around them that God told them to wipe out because they got so bad. And what were they doing? They're literally partaking in these things. It says, there shall not be found, verse 10, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. Amen. And it says, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. He says they are an abomination. Not they, you know, it's saying the same language as someone that's a sodomite, right? That sodomites are an abomination to the Lord too, right? They are an abomination. And so it's not just, you know, kind of just, oh, it's just okay. It's you know, they're just doing something different. They just worship different gods. Freedom of religion. You know what? God isn't for freedom of religion.
Amen.
You know, this country might be, and people might think that that's all good and fine. But I'll tell you what, if God had his way, there would be no Halloween.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, anybody participating in it would probably be dead. So keep that in mind that God, you know, what you think, oh, it's not that big of a deal, it's not that serious. Well, God does think it's serious. That's why he wrote basically a whole chapter about it. And it's not just the only chapter. Look, there's so much about this that I couldn't even put it in the whole sermon. There's just too much about this type of subject. So now, number one, before we go into the rest of the sermon, I want to pray, though. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, so much for this wonderful day. Lord, I pray that you would just help our people and, Lord, help them from the pressure that they get from family, Lord, and help them in their hearts that they might not ever turn back. And maybe some of them have celebrated Halloween in the past, but, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that your word would convince them otherwise to not do that again. And, Lord, help us today and fill me with the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So number one reason why Halloween's a wicked holiday, it promotes death. And, you know, God is a God of the living. Amen. He wants us to live forever. So he's not the God of death. He's the God of the living. The Bible says that. And he doesn't want death promoted. You know, do you think it's okay to just walk around and have like skulls all over you all the time and the skull ring? And look, you're promoting death when you do that. You're showing that that you just like skulls and stuff. People have these fancy things where they like to collect skulls and things. I think it's kind of weird. Like, I don't really like to collect things of dead people or dead animals. I think it's kind of strange. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think it's weird. I think God thinks it's weird too, because in verse number 10 it says, "There shall not be found any of you, any one that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire." Okay, and you're like, well, what does that have to do with Halloween, Pastor Thompson? Well, you know, child sacrifice is something that these people were doing. Okay, what does it have to do with Halloween? Well, Halloween promotes death. Okay, and these people were promoting death by letting their sons and daughters to walk through the fire. And what does that mean, to pass through the fire? Well, what do you think happens to a child when they walk into a fire? They're going to die. And so these people were into human sacrifice, not only just human sacrifice, sacrifice of innocent children that don't deserve to do that, to have that happen to them. And they're probably just wondering, well, why in the world would you let me do this, mom and dad? It's because their parents are wicked and they're serving false gods. And that's why God puts the death penalty on these types of things, because God doesn't want the land filled with blood. He doesn't want people to be sacrificing their children. Now, obviously, if you sacrifice your children in a fire today in modern day America, you know what's going to happen? You're going to go to jail. Unless you're Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton or Barack Obama or one of these other Satan worshipers that run this country, Donald Trump. You know, who knows what kind of weird stuff they're doing behind the scenes, but I'll tell you what, they're satanic. Yeah. Joe Biden is satanic. Yeah. And people say, oh, you're crazy for teaching that, really? Well, you know, Joe Biden just recently said that he wanted to put Christians on some national terrorism registry. You know, the pervert that he is. I'm sure he does. I'm sure he doesn't like when a Baptist preacher gets up and says, you're a wicked reprobate for being a child molester. Amen. Grooming children in front of people. Have you seen the videos of him just like walking up and touching girls? And just, you know, it's really strange. You know, people, oh, it's just innocent. No, it's not. I don't walk up to people's kids and touch them. That's weird. If I do, I'm going to grab them by the neck. You know what I mean? Just, what do you think you're doing? No. It won't be a soft pet or whatever. But so what do we got going on today? Well, we got child sacrifice going on today in this country. They're being sacrificed on the altar of convenience. So now you don't have to put them through the fire. Now you can just kill them before the fire. You can just kill them before they're born in the place where they're supposed to be the most protected, the womb, right? We've had all these babies born this week. You know what? Praise God. God loves to see newborn babies born. He loves to see, you know, families growing and growing up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know what he doesn't like to see? Some wicked abortion doctor killing and murdering children by the thousands every single day. And that is death being promoted. Because they, you know, what's all over the news? Oh, well, you know, I believe in a woman's right to choose. What, choose death? What, choose murder? That's what you believe? That's okay? And while the man doesn't have any say-so in the whole thing, this world has become twisted. And, you know, they thought it was okay back then in these Canaanite places. And God said, hey, you know what? I'm going to put an end to this. I'm going to tell you what I want. I don't want this. I don't want death. And in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 21, it says, thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. See, and today people are, maybe they're not letting them pass through the fire, but they are letting them be murdered. You know, and God forbid you'd be a Christian that would say, oh, I think it's okay for abortion. Right. You know, it's like Peter Ruckman saying, well, they're not a living soul until they're born. Well, the Bible, apparently he's never read the Bible. Maybe he dispensationalizes even children, because that's a strange thing to say, because God said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. You know, God's the one that forms children in the womb. God loves Jesus. The Bible says, you know, that song, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, even the ones that are still in their mother's womb. And Halloween promotes death. And he said, you're not supposed to let any of your children pass through the fire. And you know, it's tied to satanic rituals. That's what it has to do with Halloween. And, you know, have you ever heard the news stories where people do these sacrifices? I'm sure that they do sacrifices for children still. We just don't know about it because it's an occult practice. It's a satanic practice. And children disappear all over the world every single day. And some of them they never find. You know, why? Well, I'm sure that a lot of them are being prostituted out or whatever, but a lot of them are being killed. You know, and there's still people that believe this satanic stuff and they do practice it. Don't think that it doesn't happen. So Proverbs chapter 8 verse 36 says, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. And so the Halloween holiday is promoting death. And God says, you know what? The people that hate me, they love death. And so, hey, yeah, if you love death, well, why don't you just go ahead and celebrate Halloween then? If that's what you love, you know, but the Bible says that they that hate me love death. God doesn't want you to just like be fascinated by death. Yeah. He doesn't want you to think that death is something that he wants you to be involved with.
That's good.
I mean, there's a lot of things that promote death these days. Yeah. Even video games. Video games promote death too. And there's a lot of different practices and things that promote death. How about the people that are mesmerized by being an American soldier? Right. They love death too. I just want to go and kill them all and make, you know, Iraq a parking lot or whatever. That's weird. That's a weird mentality to be a person that wants to go and just kill people for America. If you're a Christian, that should not be a desire in your heart.
Amen.
God has not called us to be a soldier like that. He's called us to be a soldier in a spiritual battle. And I think it's just wrong for you to have an attitude like that. There's a lot of Fox News Baptists that have that exact attitude. And it really pisses me off when I hear people say stuff like that, that are supposed Christians and supposed Baptists. You know, but the haters of the Lord want to kill your children's purity also. And, you know, we're talking about how the reason Halloween is a wicked holiday, it promotes death. And these people want your kids to see death and skeletons and all this other scary things that scare them. And it'll kill your children's purity. You know, obviously we can't keep their eyes from everything that we want them to, but you know, you shouldn't partake in it and make it something that you're intentionally doing with them. That's not right. And it also will kill your children's spiritual lives too. And these people that don't care about letting their kids stay up and watch the movie Halloween and all this other stuff, look, you're defiling your children's eyes. Because that's not all they put in the scary movies either. They also put, you know, other things of the flesh in there that you shouldn't be watching, and your kids shouldn't be surely watching it either. Many today are sacrificing their children's purity. Look, Christians are involved in Halloween all the time. They just call it something different. They call it trunk or treat. Have you heard of trunk or treat? Where all the Christian, you know, people just pull up with and they put candy in the trunk. You know, that's kind of a weird thing. I don't know. It's like, here, have some candy, get in the trunk. You know, I don't know. I don't know where that came from. That's strange. But, you know, I know a bit. There's a big church, Grandview Baptist Church. They're promoting on their Facebook page, trunk or treat, come on down and invite the whole family. Yeah, so you can bow down to Balaam in front of everybody and show him that you're a compromiser. There's another church on right the day before Easter. They had the Easter bunny bouncing around and giving a false gospel to every kid that was there at their church that day. We were at the same park as their person that was supposedly giving the gospel wasn't even saved. And these are the types of things that people do to compromise with the world. These are the things that churches do to compromise with the world, thinking, well, we'll just reach the children through Halloween. No, you won't. You know, because God thinks it's wicked. And look, you're not going to reach them through the Easter bunny either. Why don't you reach them through Jesus? Amen. Kids aren't stupid. They know what the Bible says. You can sit there and show a kid the Bible and they'll get it way faster than the hard-hearted adult would. It's true. I love it when a kid will hear the gospel.
Amen.
But they're so, you know, they got all this stuff on their minds nowadays. They got, you know, parents just want to put them in front of a screen and, you know, do what they want so they can look at their screen. It's kind of what's going on today in this country. And kids are just, you know, desensitized. And no wonder they don't want to hear the gospel story. Oh, that's boring. That's boring. I'd rather go play video games. I'd rather go do this. I'd rather go do that. You know, and that's the problem, is that people are raising children and they're like, whatever my kid wants to do, that's what I want to do too. I just want to let them do whatever they want. And the problem is, when you let your kids do whatever they want, you know, when they get older, they're going to do whatever they want too. And the last thing they're going to want to do is set foot inside of a church like this.
Right.
So the Bible says in Psalm 103, 101, verse 3, it says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. It says, I hate the work of them that turn aside. What is that talking about? Well, I'll tell you what, things that'll turn you aside from serving Christ. Things that'll turn you aside from serving the Lord. And so there are people that will, they put that as their main job, is to try to turn people aside from the truth, whether it be the atheist or whatever. But there's people out there that want to turn your children aside from the truth. And I'll tell you what, Halloween is one of those holidays where they would try to do that. You know, what if these things are real? You know, look at the powers that they have. You know, they try to proclaim that they have these powers. You know what? God has a lot, way more power than they got.
Amen.
Way more power than they could ever hope for. You know what? God has all the answers that we need in this book right here. And if you go whoring after all this stuff, then God's not going to be pleased with you.
Amen.
And I'm going to show you some examples of that today. But Romans 12:1, you know, says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Go ahead and turn over there. Romans 12:1. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, that verse has been getting preached here a lot. Maybe that's why, you know, maybe God wants us targeting this verse. There's a lot of great stuff in this verse right here.
Amen.
He wants our lives to be a living sacrifice. So normally a sacrifice is something that you kill and burn on an altar, right? But he wants us to make our bodies a living sacrifice. And he wants us to be holy. He wants us to be acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. It's pretty reasonable, since he saved us and, you know, we don't have to go to hell, that we would serve him. And we would be a living sacrifice to him. It says, and be not conformed with this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, what is being conformed to the world? Celebrating Halloween. Who is the world? The heathen, the unbelievers. So why in the world would you want to get wrapped up in the middle of that when God says, hey, you need to not be conformed to this world, but you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hey, get in this book. It's going to tell you what your mind should be thinking about, what your mind should be doing, where you should be going, who you should be hanging around with. And hey, if you're being a living sacrifice, then why are you hanging out with a bunch of people at a Halloween party? We went to a church not too long ago, and they, every year, celebrated Halloween. They had Thriller playing. They had all this candy and stuff. And he was a deacon of the church. And I was just like, okay. Well, apparently, you know, he wants to be holy about all this other stuff. But then when it comes to Halloween, he didn't want to be holy about that, did he? Instead, inviting other families in his church to go to and partake in it. And so the Bible says that we're supposed to be a living sacrifice. Well, what about your kids? Are you supposed to guide them in the way they should go? Well, if you're not living as a living sacrifice and they see you not living that way, then when you expect them, hey, why aren't you doing this? Well, you don't. You know, it's a compromise. And look, we got all these other holidays that we can celebrate that are fine. Thanksgiving, fine. Christmas, it's all good. Easter, that's a good one. You know, there's a lot of great holidays that we can go to and have fun with our kids. Why does it have to be that one?
Right.
What do you think your kids are missing out on? Looking at devils, looking at demons, looking at witches, looking at vampires, and watching all this other garbage just so what? They could get some free candy? Why don't you just go buy them a bag of candy? Just go buy a bag of candy and put a mask on or something. I don't know. But don't do it on Halloween. I don't think there's anything wrong with playing dress up or whatever. You know, your kids playing dress up, not you. But then I might think you're a little strange. But, you know, I think kids just like doing that. It's fine, you know. But if it's as a witch, yeah, you probably shouldn't dress up like that. But, you know, kids like to dress up like animals and stuff. But people have even perverted that these days. These furries walking around with tails hanging out of their clothes and stuff. What in the world? And like you can tell the parents that are real furries that take their kids to school because they take their kids to school like that. That's scary. You know, so they think that they're an actual unicorn or something. Or it's like, no, you're just a kid. I mean, you got to separate the reality from the non-reality, right? You know, kids need to understand they're playing a game. Because otherwise they're going to think that they need to become a girl. They think that they're going to need to become an animal. I identify as an animal. You're an idiot. You're never going to get a job. You're always going to be a loser. Go ahead and become an animal, you moron. Anyway, number two, the reason Halloween is a wicked holiday, it promotes divination. Promotes divination. And number one, it promotes death. Number two, it promotes divination. Deuteronomy 18:10 says, "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire or that useth divination." Now, what is divination? Divination is the practice of seeking knowledge of the future or the unknown by supernatural occult practices. So basically when it's talking about these prophets that serve other gods, in verse number 20, there's prophets all over the world. There's preachers all over the world. They're just preaching something different. They're preaching another religion. And look, the devil has put them in the world to be a stumbling block for other people. And so what do? Well, they preach the future. They preach good things are going to happen in your life. They preach by their own hearts. They're not preaching by God. And that's proven over and over again in the Bible. Just because someone's called a prophet in the Bible doesn't mean they're a prophet of God. And so some of these people are just false prophets and prophets of other religions. And we have to understand that divination is the practice that they use to foretell the future or to preach some kind of good tidings for that person. Because they have their prophets to predict the future too. But see, God's prophets are the ones that can really do it. God's prophets are the ones that when they said it, it came to pass. But see, remember in Jeremiah's day, they would say something and it didn't come to pass. And then Jeremiah said, well, you're going to die next. And then next year the guy would die or whatever. So God wants us to make sure that we're following the right prophets. He wants us to make sure that we're, hey, look, we got the law and the prophets right before us at all times. I mean, most of you have multiple Bibles in your house. You got the law, you got the prophets, you got the words of Christ right in front of you. And he's going to tell you what your future is. You know what your future is? If you're saved, you have everlasting life. Now, he's not going to tell you the details of what that everlasting life is going to be like. That's the surprise. Amen. But you know what he does tell us? He tells us we have rewards. He tells us we're going to be blessed. He tells us our families that are saved are going to be there. Our friends that are saved are going to be there. And it's going to be a huge blessing. It's not going to be boring. Oh, I can't play Call of Duty up here. Oh man, it's gonna be so boring. I'm gonna be on this cloud like playing a harp all the time. You think that's what you're really gonna be doing? You've been watching too much Bugs Bunny. Yeah. But divination is an occultic practice. And what occult practices are, there things that are against God's law. What chapter are we in right here? Deuteronomy. And what's it saying? It's saying God's law. And so things that are opposite of these things that he's saying, or the things that he's saying not to do, those are wicked divination, things of divination, and things that are occult practices, okay? So Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 14, let's take a look and see what Jeremiah says about these prophets. So Jeremiah 14, verse number 14 says, "Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination." You see, even the prophets that say that they're preaching in the name of the Lord God, that are false prophets, they're diviners too. Yep. They're using divination also. And it says a thing of naught and a deceit of their heart. So they're basically just making things up, like these Pentecostals that say, I got a message from the Lord and he's telling me that you... Shut up, you false prophet. Right. You're a liar. Because the Bible did not say that. And so you're a liar. You're a false prophet. Shut your mouth. Amen. It makes me so mad when people say that.
Yep.
Because it's wicked. Yep. You're speaking in the name of the Lord. And you know what you are? You're in divination. You're speaking falsely. You're speaking a false vision and divination and deceit of your own heart. Yep. God didn't tell you to say that, you liar. I get tired of that whole, you know, God, someone just told me that not too long ago. Oh, God told me. No, he didn't. If he told you, it was out of this book right here. And if it's different than what this book says, then you're a liar.
Amen.
The Bible says don't be afraid of them.
Yeah, it's good.
But there's other prophets out there, and we got to be aware of that.
Amen.
It's not just false prophets in what would be considered our own religion, but also false prophets from other religions. And they're called diviners. They're using divination and speaking falsely about things of the future. Turn to Acts chapter 16, verse number 16. Acts chapter 16, verse number 16. Acts 16, 16 says, "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel," what does it say? "Possessed of a spirit of divination." So not only is this just something that comes out of their own hearts, it comes out of the hearts of devils that are possessing them. "The spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain in soothsaying." What is soothsaying? Well, it's lying. They're saying something that's false and saying it's a prediction of the future or some prediction of some good fortune to come to you. You know, next year you're going to meet the love of your life and you're going to live happily ever after. That's a lying divination because they don't know that. They can't know that. Only God knows what you're going to be doing. They don't know. I had this happen with a tarot card reader one time. And yes, before I was saved, I let someone read my tarot cards. Yeah, that's a big mistake. But you know what? It proved false very quickly because they said, "In 1 year, you're going to be married to this girl." And it was my girlfriend. And guess what? We broke up like 2 months later. And never got back together again. So guess what she was? She was a lying devil and a false prophet. And she's dead and in hell. Because she died. And that lady that did that. You know, and she's making false prophecies about, and that's called divination. She's using cards to divine someone's future and tell them what's going to happen next. And palm reading is the same thing. If you get your palm read, have you ever heard of palm reading before? Palm reading is also divination. And they'll say, "Well, the wrinkles in your hand, you know, will tell you how long your life's going to be." And how in the world are you going to figure that out by the wrinkles in someone's hand? Really? I mean, we have wrinkles in our hands. We can't help it. But they're sitting there like, "Oh, yeah, you know, you're going to join to this house." It's just like, what are you talking about? That's false divination. It's a wicked sin. And every time I drive by one of these psychic reading places, you know what I do? Pull out my fake bazooka. And I pray against them that they'll die and go to hell and go out of business. Have you ever seen my fake bazookas? Anybody ride with me before? Okay. I also have the AR-15. People probably think, what in the world is he doing? I don't know. I just do it. I'm pronouncing doom upon them. Anyway, so there's another practice in the Bible. It's talked about in Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 21. Check that out real quick. Ezekiel 21, verse number 21. It's talking about the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. Now, I believe Nebuchadnezzar ended up getting saved later on. But before, he was a heathen. But God used him to destroy the nation of Israel. Look at Ezekiel 21, 21. It says, "For the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way, at the head of the two ways, to use what? Divination. He made his arrows bright. He consulted with images. He looked in the liver." So I don't know what looking in the liver is, but apparently it's like palm reading. You can like read the veins, or I don't know. It's something weird, but I'll tell you what it is. It's divination. You're looking at something. You're using some kind of artifact to predict the future. That is divination. And it says he consulted with images. So he's talking to statues. That's what it's talking about. But we know that, you know, in 1 Corinthians 10, it says, "What say I then? That the idol is anything? Or that he which is offered in sacrifices to idols is anything? But I say that the things with the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not that you should have fellowship with devils." So what is Nebuchadnezzar doing? He's having fellowship with devils. And, you know, part of Halloween is fellowship with devils. You know, all this demonic stuff and all this divination, you know. And, you know, tarot cards might not be the main thing behind Halloween or whatever, but there's other things. They got the crystal balls and, you know, the cauldrons of the witch cauldrons where they, you know, and just all kinds of weird stuff. Psychic readings, Ouija boards. You know, Ouija boards, look, those aren't something that you want to play around with. I know Hasbro makes them. I know, you know, Parker Brothers or who, I think it's Hasbro, makes them and sells them as a game in the store. It's not a game. You know, that is divination. That's trying to look and see your future and contacting spirits. And you think, well, is my brother Dan still, you know, what's happened with my brother Dan in the afterlife? Well, I'll tell you what, if he wasn't saved, he's in hell. That's your answer. But who are they really contacting? They're not contacting their dead relative. They're contacting the dead relative that maybe knew some things about him. Because look, these devils were cast out of heaven a long time ago. And they can go to and fro back in the earth, and they can do all these things. And Jesus dealt with them on a daily basis. He was always casting them out and putting them in herds of swine and throwing, you know, sending them off in the cliffs. You got to be careful. You know what? You know, a lot of this stuff I'm teaching you today, the kids maybe have never even heard about. They're like, "Daddy, what's that?" Well, something you should stay away from.
Yeah.
Something you should stay away from and not touch.
Good.
You know, you never know when you're going to be caught in a situation where you're asked to do something that you know is forbidden by God. Kids, stay away from stuff like that.
Amen.
You know, you might think, well, it's just a game. It's not a game. It's not something you want to play around with. You go play with your dolls or something. Go play with your baby dolls. Don't play with Ouija boards. Those are wicked, and they're a thing for divination. So let's look at number three. Halloween's a wicked holiday because it promotes observing of times. It's a wicked holiday because it promotes observing of times. Well, you're talking about, well, what does that mean, Pastor Thompson? Well, I'll tell you what it means. It means someone who observes times, that they believe in specific bad or good omens or luck that will occur. And it's also in the divination family, okay? So someone that observes times is a person that like says, well, you know, this day is your lucky day because, you know, you're going to win the lottery or whatever. And then you go and take your rent check and dump it into some machine or something. You know, these are things that are kind of like your lucky numbers. You know, your lucky years, your lucky days. You know, the year of the monkey. Josh is the year of the monkey. No, I'm just kidding. Where's Josh? There he is. I don't think he's the year of the monkey. But anyway, he looks like one. But there's also like, you know, have you been to the Chinese restaurants and they have all the different things that you are? Well, I'm the dog. I'm the rat. That's stuff to, it's kind of like astrology. You know, well, hey, if you're born on this year, then you're like this. And it's the same thing. And God hates that stuff. God doesn't want you to be an observer of times. And look, I got wrapped up in that when I was younger too. Look, I didn't know any better, but I'll tell you what, kids in here and adults in here, you better know better because you're reading the Bible, you're saved, and you should never get involved in stuff like this.
Amen.
But, you know, Halloween does promote it to a certain extent with their Ouija boards and crystal balls and things like that. You know, and the witch's brew and whatever. You know, toil and trouble, double toil and trouble, or bubble, bubble, toil and trouble, or whatever they say. Look, witches are heavily promoted at Halloween. And, you know, they'll like, people are like, oh, the witches are good witches. There's no such thing as a good witch. I'll get to that later. But, so, also fortune cookies. You know, fortune cookies are a thing, a way of observing times. You know, next year at this time, we're going to fall in love with a handsome hunk or whatever. And it's just a bunch of lies, you know. It's just things that you should avoid. We used to open our fortune cookies too. But you know what I do with them now? I say no thanks. I abstain. Because it's a fortune cookie. It's telling you your future. You're going to get your future from a printed little piece of paper and a cookie. There's people that believe that stuff, though. And maybe you don't. But I'll tell you what, if you open it up and do that in front of people and people see that you're a Christian, they look at your table and they're like, you know, I don't know if people really think it's a big deal, but I'll tell you what, if I saw another Christian family doing that, I'd think it was not right. Yeah. You know, I would judge them. No. Turn to Isaiah chapter 47. I'd give them that judgment look. Isaiah 47, verse 13, the Bible says, "Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers and stargazers and monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from the things that shall come upon thee." So what's Isaiah talking about? He's talking about astrologers, people that are interested in horoscopes and star signs. Look, if the same thing is in the newspaper, in the LA Times, over in Boise, over in New York, and it says the same exact things as yours says, do you think that that's legit? Or is it your specifics? People will not, some people will, you know, open up their horoscope before they do anything else in the day. You know, and it's leading them astray. They think that it's going to teach them some special thing, and that because they were born on this day, on the third month of Capricorn or whatever, that they're like, you know, that there's certain things that are characteristics that they have, and characteristics and traits that they have, and they'll live by a newspaper article that has a little thing saying what your lucky numbers are and, you know, what your horoscope is for the day. And so instead of doing the things that you probably should be doing that day, you're looking for, you know, something else. You're looking for something to happen that was in your horoscope that day. And I'll tell you what, if people you know, don't take this seriously, you can get wrapped up into stuff that's ungodly. Yeah. It's devilish. Right. It's wicked. And God was saying, hey, if you're involved in this, hey, why don't you let these guys help you out when all these things come upon you? Why don't you let your stargazers and your astrologers stand up and stop the things that are about to happen to you? Because you know what? God thinks it's wicked, and God will judge these sins. It says, "Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it." So a prognosticator is somebody that's a fortune teller, like a psychic reader type person. So God's saying, look, hey, they're not going to stop these things from happening to you. Now you can sit up there and say, well, today's my lucky day. I'm going to go play some lottery tickets. You know, that might be the day that God judges you. And look, I'm talking about, you know, Christians can get wrapped up into stuff like this too. I've seen Christians post horoscopes on their Facebook timeline. I'm just like, what in the world? What church do you go to? How in the world did you come to find that you think that you should be involved in all these horoscopes and stuff? The suns and the skies and all this other stuff is not going to tell you what your future is. God is going to tell you what your future is. Number four this morning, Halloween is a wicked holiday because it promotes casting spells and curses. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10 says, "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter." So an enchanter is a person who uses magic or sorcery, especially to put someone or something under a spell or a curse. Now, if you remember, Balaam was supposed to go and curse Israel, but God wouldn't allow him to do it. He was also said that he had the rewards of divination in his hand. So all this stuff really does tie together. It does tie together, but God is making a difference between them because there are differences between them. That's what I'm trying to show you this morning. But someone that is an enchanter or a witch, you know, someone is an enchanter is a person that uses sorcery, black magic, to put a curse or a spell on you. And they do these magic incantations. And I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about. But also sorcery also has drugs involved with it too. The Native Americans, you know, like they have this religion called the peyote. It's the peyote religion, basically. And it's only really been around for over 100 years. And so people think that like Native Americans have some history that goes back with this peyote for thousands of years or whatever. It's not true. Some white dude came up with it and now they like, you know, dance around totem poles and whatever. I mean, but I'll tell you what, they do all this stuff through sorcery. You know, they get themselves in a trance with drugs, with stuff called mescaline or peyote, right? And so they get into these trances and, you know, they do all these different chants and stuff like that. But drugs is one way to get into a satanic stronghold. Why don't you go ask the people downtown Portland what got them to where they're at now? The drugs broke them down. And the drugs make it easier for Satan's entities to go inside of you. It's just a fact. So, because what are they doing down there? Doing heroin. They're doing hard drugs, and their bodies are given up to these demons. And some of them, you know, you'll see them, like this lady that like was doing all this weird chanting toward me one time. I was sitting in my car, I was just like, is this really happening? And she comes around here sometimes. You know who she is, the short little lady with dark hair? But then I've also seen her when she's perfectly fine and in her right mind. And she doesn't even recognize who I am. But then she'll see me again when she's all spaced out on drugs and start her stuff again. You can't tell me that that isn't some sort of satanic thing going on because of the drugs. It is. And the devil has a stronghold on them because of the drugs they're doing. I witnessed a man doing witchcraft and doing some spells on the corner at... the Rose Garden? And it was, Rylan's not here, but it was his little buddy. Have anybody seen the picture of the guy that's like really weird? And he's like, you know, he doesn't have his arm around Rylan, but he's like, he was trying to. He's a queer, for one thing. And so I saw this picture, and I didn't recognize who he was, but it's the same guy that like was just acting weird and yeah. Anyway, he was making this big spell on the sidewalk. And I walked up and I was just like, what are you doing? Because I was like putting barricades out or something. And he's like, this is this house. And like, he was just like, he wasn't crazy. Like, at first I thought he was just crazy. But he's doing a legit spell on the side of the sidewalk and writing as above, so below. And then he's like, what is the Kabbalah? He said, this is a spell from the Kabbalah that I'm doing. And the Kabbalah is like the Jewish witchcraft book or whatever, right? And so he's doing that amongst other things. And he's like, has all my cones. The reason why I actually just stopped to talk to him because he's using my cones as like a thing to make his little pentagram out of. I was like, yeah, I'm going to need those back, bud. So anyway, he was telling me what everything was representing and all that. But what was he doing? He was doing a spell. And what does Halloween have a lot of? Spells of witchcraft and things like that. And it's even gotten worse because of all the Harry Potter stuff. So, but, you know, and being an enchanter is someone who puts spells on people. And you know, I mean, the word chant is in there. So it's something that people like wizards or something would mutter and peep and things like that. So number five, Halloween's a wicked holiday because it promotes witchcraft. Halloween is a wicked holiday because it promotes witchcraft. Deuteronomy 18 verse 10 says, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. So a witch is a mean woman. No, I'm just kidding. A witch is a woman thought to have magic powers, especially evil ones, popularly depicted as wearing a black cloak and pointed hat and flying on a broomstick, or stirring a cauldron for spells, looking into a crystal ball. You know, they try to make witchcraft like a packageable thing and serve it to children nowadays. And they act like it's not a big deal, but I'll tell you what, it is a big deal to God. And being a witch is something that God hates, and God hates witchcraft. He hates people he hates the person. He hates the witch themselves. And it is a capital crime to be a witch. But I'll tell you what, in today's United States, there's all kinds of witches around here. There's witches all over the place doing their thing, and they're openly practicing what they do in the military, you know, in neighborhoods. I've run into witches in neighborhoods that we were soul winning at, and they had like spells written on the ground. There's little spells on the ground. That's a thing that they do. So, and you know, but God is not going to let any weapon formed against us prosper against us. So I'm not worried about that kind of stuff. But you know, it is promoted. It is a real thing. I mean, Pharaoh's guys that were magicians, they were able to replicate a lot of the plagues that were in the Bible. So what they do is real. It's not like, you know, sometimes it'll show like in the Moses cartoons or whatever, like they had like some fake bleach or you know, they had some food coloring that they put in the water and made it. I don't think that's what they did. I don't know how they did it, but you know, the devil has power too. And he's able to give it to his minions also. But God hates witchcraft, and witchcraft is the practice of magic, especially black magic, the use of spells. So an enchanter is someone also that could be a witch, and they use these spells and black magic. But, you know, black magic, what does that tell you that it is? It's evil. It's wickedness. It's of the devil. It's not, witches aren't just some, you know, it's not just some separate religion. They're straight up demonic. They're straight up satanic. And they don't have your best interest in heart. You know, the Wizard of Oz tried to promote like witches as good witches or whatever. But, you know, what is it, Glinda the Good Witch of the I don't know, West or something, Good Witch of the East, I don't know, I can't remember. But, you know, they dress her up in all sparkly diamonds and make her look all pretty and cute. And then the other one is like all haggardly and green. And that was the Wicked Witch of the West, right? So, but they try to make it look like, hey, there's good witches and bad witches. But so that's why people hate it. When The Wizard of Oz came out, people freaked out over that. You know, now it's just like a staple in American society. But back then, it was a big deal when it first came out. And I'm sure that it got preached against pretty hardcore. But obviously, it still made its way into everybody's homes. And, you know, people get that thought in their mind, well, there's good witches too. I had a friend whose mom said that she was a white witch. And that she would, you know, do you want me to burn a green money candle for you? And she'd say stuff like that to me. And like at the time, I didn't, you know, I'm just like, whatever, you know, I didn't care. But now I know that that's wicked as hell. It doesn't matter what you call it. It's still something that God hates. So Acts chapter 8, verse 9 says, go ahead and turn to Exodus 22, verse 18. I'm going to read Acts 8, 9. It says, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Now, witches can be saved. It's a, you know, I mean, Simon ended up being saved. So he's called Simon the Sorcerer. But it said he bewitched the people. And so what was he doing? He was casting spells upon people and making himself out to be some great one. People were bewitched by him. You know, that defiles a person's mind when they think that this person has some kind of power that they believe in, right? But God, you know, he has something to say about it in Exodus 22, verse 18. He says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Amen. You know, except they're Wiccans or white witches, you know, then it's okay. No, that's not what it says. It says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Because it's wickedness. Because it's evil. And it's a capital crime. You know, it's a capital crime to be a witch. You know, people want to make fun of all this, the Salem witch trials, and people got all weird about that. I get it. And we're trying to call everybody witches. But how do we really know? Were we there when it happened? Maybe there was some that were real witches. Who knows? It's not like real witches don't exist today. But, you know, they've made that into such a big deal that, like, if you even mention that witches deserve to die, people just like, whoa, what are you talking about? Well, the Bible says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. So God is always right, And everybody else is wrong if they're opposing what he says. And number six, Halloween is a wicked holiday because it promotes charms. And see, Halloween promotes witches. Halloween promotes all these charms and all this other stuff. A charmer is a consulter, or excuse me, a charmer is someone that puts spells or curses on certain items or objects. And so in Deuteronomy 18, verse 11, it says, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. So you're not supposed to be a charmer. Halloween promotes charming people, putting spells that will make you, or putting spells on certain objects that'll make you afraid of them, that will make you think that there's some kind of power because of the spell that's put on it. What are some things that you could think of that people would put spells on objects that would be some kind of a charm? Anybody have any? Yeah. Huh? A voodoo doll is one, a perfect example.
Rabbit's foot,
lucky rabbit's foot. Horseshoe, what else? Lucky charms, yeah. Make you eat them charms. No. But yeah, four-leaf clover, things like that. But people, you know, these people would like do these charms, and I'm sure false idols is part of that. You know, you think that that's a god. They make it into a god, but really there's a demonic being attached to it. So, you know, and then of course you got the love potions, hypnotism. You know, people try to do all kinds of weird stuff, but being a charmer is a wicked thing. The Bible says it's not, you know, it might sound charming, but it's not charming to God. You know, you got to think about the snake charmers, you know, the ones with the little, and the snakes like, well, turn to Psalm 58. I thought this was an interesting verse. A couple verses here. Psalm chapter 58. Now, it's not saying that the snake charmer is a bad person necessarily in this verse, but watch how God uses it, though. Look at verse 3. It says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They're like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear, which will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. So like, God's talking about the snake that's a deaf adder, a snake that can't hear, and they're trying to like, and the snake can't hear them. And so what are they going to do? They're going to strike him and kill him. But that, you know, if someone's a snake charmer, they don't realize that, you know, this snake particularly can't hear your charms. And it is a thing that really goes on in India and things like that. You know, it's some kind of a magic trick that they try to do with the snakes. But like, have you seen people with cobras? They put the cobras in the baskets, and then they go do 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 do, and the snake comes out, right? Anyway, but you know, charms are basically a way to control or achieve by magic, and it's usually in some sort of an item that's supposed to be lucky or something. Number seven, Halloween is a wicked holiday because it promotes familiar spirits, wizards, and necromancy. So I put all these three in the last category here, and because it promotes, Halloween's a wicked holiday because it promotes familiar spirits, wizards, and necromancy. So familiar spirits, it says in Deuteronomy 18:11, says, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. So I put them all together because they're kind of all the same thing. So someone that consults with familiar spirits is a wizard, and they're also a necromancer because they're trying to get people from the dead to come and talk, right? And a wizard is a person or a witch that would consult with a demon. A familiar spirit is a demon. It's a devil or a demon supposedly attending and obeying a witch, often said to assume the form of an animal. I don't know about that, but I know that the Witch of Endor is a perfect example we could go to in the scriptures where it shows basically that she is, you know, she's a witch. You know, she uses a familiar spirit and she tries to speak with the dead. So that's why I kind of wrapped them all three in the same thing. A wizard's basically a person who practices sorcery or black magic. It's like the male version of a witch. Necromancy is a method of divination through alleged communication with the dead. It's a black art. That's what the dictionary said. Magic in general, especially that practiced by a witch or sorcerer, sorcery, witchcraft, conjuration. They conjure demons up so that they can speak with the dead. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 3. 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 3. So we have this story about Saul, and it's obviously a famous story. I'm sure we've heard it lots of times. We've had it apply to Sam Gibb. And but let's just take the traditional rendering of it today. Verse number 3 says, "Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel lamented him and buried him at Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land." So Saul was doing a good job. You know, he was getting rid of these type of people. He was, it said he'd cut them off. You know, he cut them off. He cut them out of the land, right? It says, "And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw that the host of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor." I wonder how they knew that. Maybe they were going to that witch themselves. Who knows? And it says, "And Saul disguised himself." So he was tricky. He went trick-or-treating. He put his costume on and put on other raiment. Isn't that what people do on Halloween? Is they put another costume on, so and then go be with the witches. Anyway, "And Saul disguised himself, put on other raiment, and he went and two men with him, and he came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit." So he's using divination. He's seeking a woman that has a familiar spirit. He's going to a witch. And it says, "And bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee." And the woman said unto him, "Behold, thou knowest that Saul, what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die?" And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, "As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing." Then said the woman, "Whom shall I bring up unto thee?" And he said, "Bring me up Samuel." And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, "Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul." So there's a lot of controversy about this. And some people think that it was just someone pretended to be Samuel that came up. But I think that the woman freaked out because it really was Samuel. She was expecting a demon to come up to talk to her, and it actually was Samuel. "Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul." Verse 13, "And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, What form is he of? And he said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and that God has departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do." So he's basically going to a witch who has a demonic spirit and using divination to try to bring up Samuel because God won't answer what he wants done, right? He won't answer him his questions. I mean, that's just crazy, you know, that he drove all these people out of the land, but then he's going back to seek after something that he knows is demonic. He says, "Then said Samuel, Wherefore dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord has departed from thee, has become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David." So another thing to think about is that when you keep disobeying God and things like this, that he can become your enemy. Now, he's not going to send you to hell. He didn't send Saul to hell, but he'd definitely become his enemy. And, you know, us as Christians, if we get into junk like this, if we go back or we let our family entice us into things like this, you know, God's could become your enemy really quickly. Because if you're a friend with the world, you're the enemy of God. That's what the Bible says. Verse 18 says, "Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow thou and thy sons will be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. So he's saying basically, Saul, because you've done all this stuff, you're done. God's going to kill you tomorrow. You and your sons are going to be with me. So what does that tell you? It tells you that Saul is saved, even though he's doing this. His sons are saved, but they're being judged. And, you know, we got to understand that we as God's people can get wrapped up. God, he was saved. He went to a witch. You know what I mean? We can, who are we? Do we think we're higher than any other Christian before us? We can fall into traps like this, and this is why I'm preaching this sermon, because I want to make sure that, you know, this kind of stuff has to be hit on a yearly basis. Amen. And we got to understand, we can't get soft on stuff like this. God's not soft on it. God wasn't soft on Saul about it, was he? He picked Saul to become the king of Israel, but then he rejected him. Why? Because he wouldn't obey his voice. 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13. I'm almost done. 1 Chronicles 10, verse 13. The Bible says, "So Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not. And also, for what? For asking counsel of one that hath had a familiar spirit to inquire of it." So why did God kill Saul ultimately? What was the final straw that broke the camel's back? Well, for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. So because he went to the witch. You know, we can't go back to the witch.
Amen.
We got to get away from the witch.
Good.
And we got to go to the Lord to inquire of him. It says, "Inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse." So he slew Saul for going to the witch. See, Saul did good at the beginning of his life. But then he started slipping and doing all this stuff wrong. And eventually ended up so backslidden that he actually started celebrating Halloween again. He put the costume on. He went to the witch. You know what I mean? And so if it can happen to Saul, who was a great king of Israel, it can happen to anybody.
Amen.
And he said, "You inquired not of the Lord." But is that true? He did inquire of the Lord, but the Lord didn't answer him. So because the Lord didn't answer him the way he wanted to in the time frame that he wanted him to, he ended up going to a witch instead, which is wicked. He went to the wicked witch. Anyway, so this should tell you also that, you know, we're not supposed to seek after wizards either. You know, because who's the ones that are enacting these familiar spirits? These are wizards. These are witches. And Harry Potter is not a good kid's book. It's a wicked book. Well, but it promotes reading for children, Pastor Thompson. Don't you know anything? Yeah, I know that it took the nation by a storm, and now look at this country.
Yeah.
I mean, you think that these things don't come in these blocks, and they just chip away at righteousness. They chip away at the moral foundations of our country.
Yep.
And now everybody thinks Harry Potter is the coolest thing since sliced bread. I'll tell you what, I promise you this. I've never watched a Harry Potter movie. I never will watch a Harry Potter movie. I didn't allow my kids to watch the Harry Potter movies.
That's right.
And if you did, I'm sorry, but you shouldn't allow them anymore.
Yeah, it's good.
Don't let them read those books. You know, they actually do have real spells in them. Those books have real spells in them. The author even admitted it. So, you know, they try to go for realism, don't they? Well, they really did put real spells in there. So you think that's something that your kids should be reading? Spells, witch spells, wizard spells. You know, we need to get that garbage out of our house. We need to get that garbage and throw it in the garbage and burn it. Those are the types of books you should burn, all right? Leviticus 19:31 says, "Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." We're not supposed to seek after wizards. What's Harry Potter? You're a wizard, Harry. He's a wizard. We're not supposed to seek after wizards to be defiled by them. The Bible says that you're defiled by them. Why would you read a book like that? Why would you go see a movie like that? You know, I don't care if you think it's just an all-in-fun kids movie. Oh, well, they're not really witches. Yeah, they are. They're not really wizards. Yeah, they are. In the books, they're really wizards and witches. It's not something that we should be watching or reading. Leviticus 20, verse 6 says, "And the soul that turneth after such that have familiar spirits and after wizards to go whoring after them, I'll even set my face against that soul and I'll cut him off from among his people." God said, hey, if you want to go after that kind of garbage, you want to listen to Harry Potter or watch Harry Potter, you want to read his books, you're going to whore after Harry Potter, then I'm going to cut you off from among your people. You know, and what did he do to Saul? Cut him off from among his people. Killed him. That's what it's talking about. So, hey, you might not think it's a very big deal to celebrate Halloween, but you know what? God thinks it is. You're whoring after all those things and getting involved in that kind of stuff. Even if it just looks like it, it's still bad. Leviticus 20, verse 27 says, a man also or a woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. Just like the Sodomites. Hey, witches and wizards should be stoned to death too. That's what the Bible says. Pastor Thompson, I can't believe you'd stone Harry Potter to death. Well, first of all, you know, he's a fictional character. But second of all, I would if he was real. Amen. In the millennium, that is. Anyway, so Isaiah 8, let's see, I'm just going to skip through some of this because I'm way past my time. But so the Bible says, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 18. I'll finish this up. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse number 10. There shall not be found among you. Among you. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the nation of Israel. We're the spiritual Israel, right? There shall not be among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. So what does the word suffer mean? It means allow. He's not allowing us to do it. He's saying don't do it. And you're like, well, Pastor Thompson, this is the Old Testament. Hey, this is still the moral law. It's not some spiritual thing. This is the moral law that we're not supposed to break. And look what it says. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall you hearken. You want to hearken unto someone? Why don't you hearken unto Jesus? You want to hearken unto someone? Why don't you hearken and listen unto God? He's telling us right here in his word, we shouldn't be messing around with this stuff. It's not fun. It's not games. It might be candy. Big deal. You can get candy anywhere at any convenience store. Go to Walmart. They got bags of it. You don't have to have the devil's candy, do you? You don't have to partake of the devil's table and drink from his cup. You know, you're bob for apples where you're getting slobber, other people's slobber and snot all over in your face. That's gross. Yeah, I hope it grosses you out thoroughly so you never do it again. But the Bible says that he'll raise up a prophet. That prophet is Jesus. Amen. Maybe we ought to listen to what the book says. This book right here. Instead of listening to our family members, our friends, people that are calling us crazy. And you know what's crazy? The people that are out there.
Amen.
You know what's people crazy? These people right next door to us.
Amen.
That drink themselves to death every single day. Maybe I'd actually heed the one that does know the future. You know, Jesus does know the future. Maybe, he can make your life better. He can protect your life. He can give you all the health that you need. He can bless your family and comfort you about your dead loved ones. But it might not be comfort. Maybe it's going to be it's something. Look, God's going to just tell us the truth. A lot of these people that go to these familiar spirits and they go and do seances and stuff like that, they want to go and say, oh, is he in a better place? Are they in a better place? If they didn't believe in Jesus, they're in hell. Just deal with it. A lot of people won't get saved because they know that their family members are in hell. That's stupid. Get saved. They made a bad choice. You don't have to follow them right down into hell. You know, and we definitely don't need to go and see some wizard or some sorcerer to tell us where they're at. Because you know what they're going to bring up? They're going to bring up their familiar spirit that's going to tell you lies. They're going to tell you lies. And we don't want to be in that boat. And obviously, I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here tonight. But hey, I don't know where your hearts are. I don't know if you were planning on going trick-or-treating on Thursday and skipping church. I don't know. Because we're not a cult. When's the last time I've been to your house? It's been a while, hasn't it? I don't go over and look at your DVDs, and I'm not going in there inspecting people's houses. You know, I expect that, you know, if you're God's people, you're going to try to toe the line and do the best you can to please the Lord, and that you're not going to want to partake in a wicked holiday like Halloween and let your kids see these abominations. Amen. Anton LaVey, I said this last year at the beginning of my sermon, but this year I'm going to say it again. Anton LaVey was the satanic high priest or whatever. He wrote the satanic Bible. He said, "I'm glad that Christian parents allow their children to worship the devil at least one night out of the year." And you know what? That should kick us in the pants right there and let us, you know, he's basically saying that, hey, Christian parents let their children worship the devil. He's just throwing it in our face. You know, he's in hell right now too.
Amen.
But, you know, if you let your children celebrate Halloween, that's exactly what you're doing. You are Amen. Letting them partake of the devil's table. You're letting them partake in the things of the devil, and you're glorifying death and witchcraft and sorcery and demons and false religion. You're Amen. Allowing them to be in something and partake in something that glorifies that stuff. So you can say, oh, Pastor Thompson, I'm not letting them do that. You're crazy. I'm just letting them get some candy. Well, here, let me just shut it down with this last verse. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, it says, abstain from all appearance of evil.
Amen.
So, hey, even if you say, I'm not the one, I'm just getting candy, I promise. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Because if you're walking around knocking on the same doors with those same people, maybe you should just be knocking on doors for God Amen. And getting people saved instead of knocking on doors for free candy from the world.
Amen.
Abstain means to restrain oneself from doing or enjoying something. Hey, sometimes we gotta abstain from the appearance of evil. Sometimes we gotta abstain from doing things and enjoying things that we shouldn't be partaking in. Okay? And if the kids, well, the poor kids, they get a lot of fun stuff. They have a fun life. Quit trying to just make everything be about your kids. Sometimes it's gotta be about God.
Yep.
Halloween's a wicked holiday. Case closed. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this wonderful day. We pray that you'd bless our soul winning today. I pray that you'd help us. And Lord, that we'd see people saved today at the door. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.